Hechel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is recording number 107 in this series entitled, You and God Alone, Does God Really Care About My Behavior? This class was recorded live at Hechel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York, during the winter of 5761.
Welcome back, everybody, to the new season of classes on Tanya. This is actually the fifth semester of our classes on Tanya, and we're up to the 41st chapter, Perek Mem Aleph. Generally speaking, one can say that the first section of the Tanya, authored by the Alter Rebbe, Reb Shneur Zalman of Liadi, Likutei Amarim, which contains 53 chapters, on a general level can be furtherly subdivided in the following manner. From chapter 1 till chapter 18 is one section, chapter 18 through 25 the next, chapter 26 through 34, the third section, chapter 35 through 40, the next, and then 41 till the end, which is the 53rd chapter. In the first 17 chapters of the Tanya, the Alter Rebbe explores the inner chemistry and makeup of the human soul, the inner psychological, emotional, and spiritual structure of the human soul and of the Jewish soul, its struggles, its battles, its never-ending wars, its possible defeats, as well as its possible victories. In one word, one can encapsulate the message that life is basically a tale of two souls, the animal soul, the egotistical soul, and the idealistic, the divine soul, the idealistical consciousness in man. From chapter 18 through 25, the Alter Rebbe explores the foundations of Jewish faith. He explains the fundamental elements of Jewish theology. What do we mean when we talk about God as one, Hashem Echad, the unity of Hashem? The nature of the creation of the universe, the relationship of the universe to its creator. He discusses what is the essence of Torah, what is the essence of mitzvahs, what is the intrinsic relationship of a Jew to the aforementioned realities. Basically exploring and explaining, elaborating the foundations of Jewish theology. From chapters 26 through 34, he explores how one can introduce happiness into his life and avoid melancholy, sadness, depression. This is a 9-chapter discussion on joy and melancholy. chapter 35 through 40, he explores what is the purpose of the creation of the universe. What was the objective and goal of the creation of man? And how this goal and objective is fulfilled through the learning of Torah and the observance of mitzvahs. And in this theme itself, he explored two elements. Learning Torah and observing mitzvahs per se, as well as the passion, the enthusiasm, the feeling that ought to accompany one's learning of Torah and observance of mitzvahs. The ava, the love, the yira, the awe, the fear, which he called kavana, inner intention, where man wants to connect and cleave and become one with Hashem through Torah and through mitzvahs. And the Kabbalah compares this passion to the wings of a bird that allow the bird to fly, to soar. The Torah and mitzvahs themselves are the birds. And the kavana, the passion, the fervor, the emotional animation are the wings. The point being was that one of the saddest scenes in life, I don't know if you've ever observed it, is when you see a bird that lost its wings. It craves, it yearns to fly, but it's stuck. So the Alter Rebbe explains, one of the saddest things is when you have Torah and mitzvahs without any passion, without any emotion accompanying them. It's a bird without wings. Why? So as he put it, what the kavana, what the inner intention, what the inner passion does to Torah and mitzvahs is it elevates the act or the word, the deed, to the higher spiritual worlds. Take, for example, tonight, I could have a ma'ariv, and I could say, Amen Yehesh Mei Rabba Mevarach La'olam Olam El Ma'ayiz Baruch. What's contained in these words? Very often, a Jew recites these words in a very robotic, non-exciting way. After all, you can say it dozen times a day. So it's basically nine words. That's it, it's physical words that you utter with your mouth. The truth is, if you were to be a creature of the world of Yetzirah, which is a less opaque, a more spiritual, a more translucent, a more refined world, you would observe the atomic, godly energy contained in Yehesh Miravim Avarach La'olam Olam El Ma'ayiz Baruch. The Alter Rebbe once came out of his room and said that for 1,000 years there are myriads of malachim and seraphim, angelic spiritual creatures, that are envious, are jealous from the fact that a Jew living on earth can say Amen Yehesh Merab. But when we stand there, shall we say Amen Yehesh Merab? It's almost meaningless. What? It's a few words. In the world of Yetzirah, Amen Yehesh Merab. They'll give away everything, he said. They'll give away their entire paradise, all their spiritual worlds for Amen Yehesh Merab. In the world of Bria, which is even a more spiritual world that he discussed, the atomic nuclear energy in these words is even more powerful. And the same is true with Aleinu L'Shabeach L'Adayin HaKoil, that we regard very often as insignificant, valueless, meaningless, you just get it over with, and so forth. So without Kavana, the bird can't soar. The inner energy is not exposed. The passion, the love and the awe that accompanies the mitzvahs, that accompanies the Torah, that is associating with the inner significance, the inner spirituality contained within it, exposes the energy. It exposes to us how the deed or the word is viewed in the higher spiritual worlds. That it's not just a technical or physical word or a technical deed. It's rather a revolutionary act that unites Hashem and the world, that makes this world a dwelling place for Hashem. In that itself, he explained in chapters 38, 39, and 40, there is a kavana, there is a type of passion that reveals the significance of a mitzvah as it's viewed from the perspective of the world of asiyah, the world of action. There is the passion that reveals and exposes the inner energy of a mitzvah, how it's viewed and experienced in the world of yetzirah, the world of formation. There is the passion, a higher level of passion, which he called idealistic passion, that reveals and exposes and explores how the energy of a mitzvah is viewed and experienced in the world of creation. And then there's even a higher passion reserved for the unique souls in Jewish history that reveal the mitzvah's significance from the perspective of the world of Atzilus, the world of intimacy, the highest world. So this is the primary contribution of passion to Torah and mitzvahs, that even though you have the very structure of the bird, the essence through Torah and mitzvahs, but without the wings it remains bottled energy, contained energy, concealed energy, its godliness is not exposed, and the passion, the kavana that accompanies Torah and mitzvahs are not the primary factor. He brought the halacha that a bird that's missing its wings is still kosher. It's not the primary factor, but nonetheless, it's this and only this that allows it to soar. Now, in chapter 41, which we are about to embark upon, the Alter Rebbe begins developing and explaining a new theme. Here he gets into describing the emotional life of the spiritual Jew. Here he begins discussing emotions as an independent theme unto themselves. Not just as wings accompanying Torah and mitzvahs, he begins discussing, he gives us a picture. He describes, like in a novel, the various emotional experiences of the Jewish soul, which emotions it ought to strive to develop and cultivate and create, their necessity, the way to develop them, and he discusses this at length, including the myriads of levels and gradations and ranks that may exist in the emotional life of Yiddishkeit and in the emotional life of the Jew. In chapters 41, 42, and the beginning of 43, Mem Aleph, Mem Beis, and Mem Gimel, he will explore primarily the emotion of yira, of awe, of fear. And in the beginning of, and then the continuation of chapter 43 and chapter 44, Mem Gimel and Mem Dalet, primarily the theme of Ahava, of love. As in all of the earlier chapters in Tanya, these chapters also contain a very profound and meticulous structure, which although upon first glance it's easy to miss, but if you learn it well, you immediately, or not immediately, notice the very meticulous and profound structure that characterizes each line, each sentence, each paragraph, and each chapter. And now we'll begin inside Perek Mem Aleph, page 111, Daf Nun Vav Amud Aleph. However, one must constantly bear in mind, one must always remember, what is the beginning of divine service, what is its core, and what is its root? Person must always remember what is the beginning, the core, and the root of his or her spiritual service, of his or her godly service. Now, this term, biram, however, I believe the Alter Rebbe used once more in the beginning, right? In the beginning of 26, Perek Chavav. And there was also, when he said there, biram, he also threw down a bomb. Biram, however, what he established there was, after explaining the inner chemistry of the Jew, the inner battles and struggles of the Jew, and how the Jew can always come out on the top victorious, even though he never wins, he always has to battle, but never has to lose, and so on and so forth, as he did it from 1 through 25. He says, Biram, however, you have to remember one major ingredient that's of utmost necessity, and that is joy, positive spirits, happiness, a good mood. A Jew who's melancholy, depressed, sad, downtrodden will lose the battle. As he gave the example in martial arts, that you can be much stronger than the other guy, But victory is not reserved to the one who's more powerful, who's more muscular, but the one who is swifter, the one who's more agile, who's open, who's happier, whose spirit is flying high, and thus the inner energies can be exposed. And similar to that, although another theme, is the Biram here in chapter 41. Biram, however. Till now, the Alter Rebbe basically spoke about everything. It's hard to understand how in 40 chapters you can talk about everything, but as Levi Yitzchak Baditshever, the holy Baditshever, expressed himself when he saw the Tanya, he says, I don't understand, viz shayich as a mensch, I cannot begin to comprehend how it's possible that a human being should compress such an infinite God in such a small book. So the Alter Rebbe spoke about everything. In the Tanya, the Alter Rebbe developed in a very profound, revolutionary way the depths of the existence of the cosmos, the depth of the existence of the Jewish soul, the depth of what it means to live, what is man's challenge, what is man's mission, and so forth. So after all this, and I gave before the brief synopsis of what he dealt with from 1 through 40, as much as you can do it in a few sentences, the Alter Rebbe says, after everything said and done, you should know that there is a foundation and a core and a root that precedes this all. It's the beginning of divine service, it's the middle, and it's the end, in other words. And that is, as he will explain, to evoke within oneself an attitude and a feeling of fear from Hashem, of awe from Hashem. The simple recognition and awareness, whether emotional or at least intellectual, that Hashem is my king, that Hashem is my master, this constitutes the beginning, the core, and the root of the divine service. And he uses, interestingly, three terms. First of all, it's Reishis HaAvodah, the beginning of the divine service. But not only that, he adds v'ikra, and it is its core. Because something could be the beginning of something, but not the core, right? A walk of 100 miles begins with one step. But the one step is not the core of the walk. It's the beginning, it's not the core. The Alter Rebbe says this is also the core. But then he adds v'sharsha. V'ikra v'sharsha, it's also its roots. The core can be the core of something, but doesn't necessarily have to exist in the same place like in the manifestations of that core element. For example, the core of a building, the foundation of a building, remains in its place beneath the ground, and the higher stories are based upon that foundation, but the foundation does not permeate, does not penetrate every nook and cranny, every crevice, every element of the actual edifice. But what about a root? The root doesn't remain detached from any branch of the tree. Every branch and every leaf and every plant and every element of the plant that could be the smallest is constantly nurturing itself from the root. So the Alter Rebbe says every detail and element of man's spiritual service, as high as you might go, you might reach the most sophisticated and exalted in spiritual elements. There's always the root from which you will always be receiving nurture and vitality and animation. And that is the simple, it's not so simple, but that basic recognition that Hashem is my master, that Hashem is my king. Beyond all the spiritual and extraordinary celestial elements that one can reach. And every element again is animated, is nurtured from this basic awe of Hashem. Now, concerning this, there's a fascinating story. I have to preface that I don't understand exactly the story. I'll just tell it to you as is. And everyone can explain it. You can explain it to yourself as you wish. The Alter Rebbe wrote the Tanya for 20 years, intermittently. He began writing it approximately in the year Tavkuf Lamed Hei, which would be what? 1775, and intermittently he edited it and re-edited it and revised it again and again, and he completed it in Tavkuf Nunhei, which would be 1795, and then finally the Alter Rebbe conceded to the requests of many of his followers and friends to give it to press, to allow it to be blotted. And then he revised it once again, the manuscript, and then he allowed it to be printed, and it was printed in the year Tavkuf Nun Zayin, which was 1796. Once, the Alter Rebbe's brother, known in the Chabad history or literature as the Maharil, Rabbi Yehuda Leib, walks into the Alter Rebbe's room. And he sees that Alter Rebbe is sitting, and the Kuntresim, the manuscripts of the Tanya, are in front of him on the desk. In his right arm, he's holding a pen, and his left arm is holding up his forehead. And he's deep in meditation and contemplation. And he saw that Alter Rebbe has been transported to another world and didn't even realize that he's standing right, that his brother is standing right near him. The Maharil was waiting and waiting, and he waited there for an hour, a full hour. And after the hour, the Alter Rebbe awoke, and he sees his brother. And he tells his brother, "Sishin drei Wochen, was ich sitz da auf ein Wort in Tanya. It's already 3 weeks that I'm sitting on one word in Tanya. Ich weiß nicht, ich soll es schreiben mit Avav HaChibur oder an Avav HaChibur. I don't know if to write the word with a vav in the beginning, a vav that would attach it, that would define it as a continuant to the previous word, or delete the vav, so it should be a self-contained word." The Rebbe wrote to somebody that based on what he heard from his father or the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, it was the vav of the Ikra. In the beginning of this chapter, the Alter Rebbe was contemplating if he should write Reishis HaAvoida Ikra V'Sharsha, which would apparently make equally sense. It's the beginning of the divine service, it's the core, and it's the root. But the Alter Rebbe, as we see, decided to insert the Vav, Reishis HaAvoida V'Ikra V'Sharsha. And the Alter Rebbe turned to the Maharil and he said, Afa ois in beinenim megmen avegeb in sechs Wochen. Und in dem siebten Woch scheint an eur atzmi. On one letter in this book for the ordinary Jew, one may devote 6 weeks. And on the seventh week, he experiences the light of the essence. That's what Alter Rebbe said. He told his brother that he's already 3 weeks that he's thinking about it. But then he said that on a letter in the Beit Nidin Megvon Avegeb in Zexvach. I guess so. Zogd Alter Rebbe, so one always has to bear in mind, wherever you go, and as we shall soon see, Tamid includes all levels, as high as you go and as low as you go. Right, I mentioned only before the positive. If you go up very high, you still have to come back to your roots. On the other hand, it's wherever you are. If you fall very low, you also have to remember what's the beginning and what's the core and what's the root. Vuhu, and that is ki av shahayira hishoyish l'sur meira va'ava l'vasei toiv. Although fear is the root of turning away from evil, and love is the root of doing good, afal pikein, nonetheless, loy daila oyder ha'ava levada levasei teif. It's nevertheless not sufficient to awaken the love alone to do good. That would not suffice. What Alter Rebbe is saying here, that although generally we know, and he explained this in the beginning of chapter 4, that the primary motivator for sur meira, for refraining from negativity, is the passion, the feeling of awe, fear. The primary motivator of doing good is the feeling of love. Alter Rebbe said this in chapter 4. It's also interesting, on the Rambam, on Hilchis Yisaydi HaTorah, the first halachas in the Rambam, which also deals with the foundations of Jewish theology, there's a commentary called the Pirush. I don't know if we know who authored it. But it's an ancient, ancient commentary, accepted. And in the beginning of the second chapter, the Pirush writes that ki hayira yesh bo tayalos gdoila l'mitzvos leisus, ha'ava yesh bo tayalos gdoila l'mitzvos ase. fear is extremely useful for refraining from the prohibitions, and love is extremely useful animating, engaging in the positive mitzvahs. And basically we can understand the concept behind this, because what prompts a person to do something, to engage in something positive? Something positive, not something negative. Obviously, I can do something because I'm scared. But you can compare it to the drive, to the enthusiasm if I have a love. I mean, when you do something out of fear, it's totally not comparable to when you're doing something because you love it. So in order that there should be real energy, real chayas, real animation, imbuing one's mitzvahs, the positive 248 mitzvahs, you need ava. That's the idea. Love towards Hashem. Or fear is not a motivator to do, but it's a great motivator to not do, to refrain, to abstain. Love is the motivator for action, and fear is the great motivator for passivity. Again, love can also be a motivator for passivity. But sekupnish, that can't compare to the motivator for passivity that comes through fear, through awe. Love wants to express itself in something, and fear expresses itself the best by staying away, by refraining. So the Alter Rebbe tells us in this chapter that this is the general rule. But this rule has to be qualified. It's not enough, a Jew will say, for sur meira, I'll develop yira, or, but for asei tai, for engaging in good, for that ava, love is enough. He says that's not enough. It's not enough to awaken the love to do good. Ulepach esarech la'eir t'chila, ha'yira ha'tivis ha'masuteres v'leiv kal Yisrael. At the very least, even before performing a positive mitzvah, one must first arouse the innate, intrinsic fear which lies hidden in the heart of every Jew. What does this fear constitute? Shaloi limrei b'melech malchem lachem HaKadosh Baruch. It's a fear not to rebel against the Supreme King of Kings, the Holy One, blessed be He, kanisker le'el, as is stated above. Shetehei b'izgalus liboi. So that this fear should manifest itself in his heart. It's hidden, but it has to manifest itself in his heart. Or if not in his heart, at least in his mind. The Alter Rebbe explained in earlier chapters, in chapter 18 and 19 and chapter 38, that there are two types of emotions. In chapter 16 and chapter 38, there are two types of emotions. There is an emotion that man can create as a result of meditation, and then there is an emotion that's already pre-existing. You just open yourself up to it. You have to tune into it. The former is always of a higher level. So that's what Alter Rebbe is saying. If you can create an emotion of fear, gewaldic, beautiful, lepach is at least, you have to get in touch with the natural, intrinsic, pre-existing awe that's buried, that's hidden in the heart of every Jew, every single Jew, part of the definition of his or her existence is, even though we might not be conscious of it, is that we experience a love, but what is relevant here is a fear not to be detached from Hashem. As is discussed in 18 and 19 and 38, this fear itself can be revealed emotionally in the heart. I can actually feel it. If not, he says, Meichel Kalpanim. At least you have to tune into it and it should become a product of your mind. There is a feeling that's an emotion that's palpable in the heart. You feel it, you feel a fire, you feel an urge, you feel the feeling vividly and conspicuously. Then there's a feeling, a type of emotion that can't really be defined as a feeling, but it's more of an intellectual inclination. It's more of a conviction that you understand vividly and clearly that this is the proper thing. It's something that ought to elicit an emotion. It ought to elicit an emotion, and it's something that's a conviction that would produce behavior, and that's called an intellectual emotion, more of an emotional emotion. So the Alter Rebbe says, I'm not telling you that everyone can experience this fear emotionally, but at least in your mind. How does one do this? So the Alter Rebbe says, the Hainu, this means, how does one arouse this feeling within himself? Lizboin and b'machshavtei al kol panim. At least, in the very least, he should contemplate in his mind, G'dula Saint Seif Baruch Hu Malchusei, the greatness of Hashem, of the Blessed Endless One, and His kingship. We have here another al kol panim, at the very least. To arouse the palpable, revealed fear in the heart, you need more than lihizboinim b'machshavti, than contemplating with your thought. That requires a much more profound meditation. But if one is unable to do that, he can at least contemplate the following idea in a regular way, regular meditation and contemplation, which will produce at the very least that intellectual inclination we're discussing. What should be the nature of the contemplation? Zog da Alter Rebbe. To contemplate Hashem's greatness and His kingship. Asher hi malchus kol elamim. This kingship extends to all worlds. Elyoinim v'tachtoinim. Both higher worlds and lower worlds. V'iyu memali kol alamin. And He, Hashem, fills all the worlds in the Zoharic terminology. V'soiviv kol alamin. And He, Hashem, encompasses all the worlds. Another term in Zohar, which as Chassidus explained, as the Alter Rebbe will explain at length in 48, denote two forms of divine energy. There is the concept of Hashem filling the worlds, animating them with an indwelling life force that created beings can experience and comprehend. It's the divine energy that's tailored, that's custom made, that's accessible to the character, to the feature, to the individual capacity and identity of every creature. But then there is Seif of Kalaman, which is a more intimate expression of divine energy that transcends the experience, the comprehension, the vessels of the created being. Seif of Kalaman is the presence of Hashem in the world that transcends the kalim, the features, the individualistic identities of the created beings. You're asking if that's makif? Yeah, it's usually defined as makif, save of kalaman, that encompasses the world, which Alter Rebbe will discuss at length in chapter 48. So man contemplates the sukumash akastuv, as the verse says, Yirmiyahu says in Perik Chav Gimel Pasuk Chav Dalet, Halayas HaShamayim V'Sa'aretz Ani Malei, I fill heaven and earth. You're saying that this pasuk only denotes mamala kalam and not seviv kalam. Apparently, yes. Maloi es hashmayim v'saretz ani maloi. Although there are some Hasidic discourses from the Alter Rebbe in Likutei Torah where he does interpret this pasuk as an expression of the seviv kalam, because es hashmayim v'saretz ani maloi in an identical fashion. I fill heaven and earth identically, and that's the expression of Seviv Kalam, which doesn't differentiate and tailor itself to the individualistic differentiations that characterizes heaven and drastically different, a different way characterizes earth. And nonetheless, despite all of this, that he fills the worlds and encompasses the worlds and so forth, Omani Achel Yoinim V'Tachtoinim, yet Hashem leaves aside the creatures of the higher worlds and the creatures of the lower worlds. Umiyached malchusay al am Yisrael. And he uniquely bestows his kingship upon his nation, the Jewish people. Hashem abandons, so to speak, or leaves aside, disregards all of the worlds, all of the universes, the higher creatures, the lower creatures, all of the galaxies on a physical level, on a metaphysical level, even on a greater metaphysical level, and so forth. He leaves it all. And he chooses that he would like to become a king over the Jewish people. He wants to be their king. This, the Alter Rebbe says, is bichlal, is generally speaking. Generally speaking, Hashem wants to become the king of the Jewish people. And this is what the Jews should contemplate. that despite the fact that Hashem's Malchus extends everywhere and he's Mamala Kalaman and Sevev Kalaman, he nonetheless leaves them alone, leaves them aside, and bestows his kingdom upon the Jewish people. But the Alter Rebbe adds, this is generally he bestows his kingship upon his nation, the Jewish people in general. And upon him, this Jew in particular. For a person is obligated to say, Bishvili nivra ha'olam. For my sake was the world created. The Jew could think, true, Hashem leaves aside all of the higher worlds and he chose the Jewish people that he wants to be their king. But thank God, there are 16, 17, 18 million Jews. There's a lot of Jews. There's a big body called Klal Yisrael, the community of the Jewish people. So the Alter Rebbe said he has to remember and meditate upon the fact that it's a love befrat. Hashem chose you to be a king over you. He left everything and everybody. And he wants you. He's interested in being your king, your master. He wants a relationship with you. From all of the worlds. And from all of the universes and everything. Hashem chose you as an individual human being that you should serve him. He wants to be your melech. And the Alter Rebbe demonstrates this with this declaration of the sages, Chayav Adam Lema. The Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Zayin, Amid Aleph, that Lefichach Nivra Adam Yechidi. Why was the first man created alone, a loner, an individual? To teach us that every human being is a complete world. And then the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, Lefichach, therefore every person is obligated to say, Bishvili Nivrael, because of me the world was created. The world was created in order that Hashem should be able to be a king. And that godliness should be brought into the world. And the whole world was created for me. So it means the purpose of the entire creation was, the world was created for Hashem wanted to be a king. The whole world was created for me. Hashem created everything because he wanted to be my king. My personal king, my personal master. The Rebbe explained once that the reason the Alter Rebbe adds this Chayav Adam Leimar is not just to demonstrate the point that it's a love befrat, but it also adds a new depth. Because the Jew may entertain the thought, of course he wants me as an individual, because Klal Yisrael is made up of millions of people like me. You can't have the community of Israel without individuals, right? You can't have a large population, a large body of people is comprised of many individuals, and hence the significance of my individuality. By divine providence, this theme, which we usually take for granted, has become very evident in this country that people never realized, as they have realized a few days ago or last week, that 100 million people are actually comprised of 100 million of individuals. You and you and you and you. And when there's a question of a few individuals, a few hundred votes, a whole country is going crazy. So one can think that this is the significance of my individuality. Of course my vote counts. A nation is comprised of individuals. The Alter Rebbe wants to say no. It's not your individuality is significant because you're a part of Klal Yisrael. That's one element. You as you. You as an individual, not as part of anybody else. That's your significance. And this is a Chayav Adam Leimer Bishvili Nivra Olam. Why? Because you're like Adam Arishon. Adam Arishon wasn't part of 100 million people. His individuality as his individuality, that was significant. And the same is true about every single Jew for all of eternity. I always thought about the fact, you know, the Baal Shem Tov grew up in a forest. And Baal Shem Tov was orphaned at a very young age from his father and his mother. And he was considered a not proper developed child, we should say, in Cheder. They didn't realize how much he understands, how much, and so forth. And particularly, he was alone. He would always, whenever he had a free moment, he would escape to the forest. And he would spend there hours and hours and hours. And I think that one of the elements or one of the reasons of that is You know, when you're in the forest, for example, and you daven, it's a love befrat. I don't know if any of you were ever daven mincha at a sunset when you're in the mountains, alone. You know, when you daven mincha alone, the sunset in the mountains, there's just a feeling, there's God and me alone. A love befrat. Breslov Chassidim till today, Reb Nachman wanted they should spend a lot of times in the forest. When I'm in shul with another 200 people, it's hard to experience that. And that's what Alter Rebbe is saying. It's no difference where you are. You can be in shul and there can be another 200 people davening there. It's a love befrat. Hashem chose you. He chose me. He wants to be my king at this very moment. Yet, this is from Hashem's point of view. V'hu gam hu. V'hu gam hu, and he, for his part, mekabel alav malchusay, accepts Hashem's kingship upon himself, li yis melech alav, so that Hashem may be king over him, v'lav day, to serve him, v'las yis yitzayne b'chol mine avay desevet.